Now's the time for us to read the scripture. Come here, Kim and I get your hey, Legasu, the Lokjang, the Bajit, to my time more tie chin su, the Yijang, Yachi Sajit. Jintan Jingwan Jijanaga, Mijasu, Diljang, Baje, Kanti more tie chin su, Urjang, Yidao Sijet. Sayana, Yawa Yi Jisi lay, Ho Wai Sin. Tahang lay saw you dig, see some mole. 只要你行公义、好怜悯、全谦卑的心与你的神同行。提摩太前书第二章一至四节，我劝你：第一，要为万人恳求、祷告、代求、祝谢，为君王和一切在位的也该如此，使我们可以敬虔、端正、平安无事的度日。 这是好的，在神我们救主面前可蒙悦纳，他愿意万人得救，明白真道。愿神祝福佢听话语嘅人。
Let us come again to God in prayer. 父神，我哋感谢你，因为你唔单止赐俾我哋新嘅生命同埋新嘅盼望，你都系将你嘅话语做我哋生命嘅灵粮。 感谢神，这个崇拜是你的，亦都感谢神，你在于是同我们亲自每一个人倾说话。求神你帮助我们在你的面前所听的是用一个谦卑的心，因为神我们知道，如果我们没有了你的说话在我们生命里面，我们所做的、所想的、我们的一切的成就都是虚空的，所以在于是 恭恭敬敬地来到你的面前，求神你亲自用你的话语喂养我们，喂养这个教会，等我们每一个信耶稣基督的，不单止是能够成熟，而且为你做最好的奉献。这样的祈祷是奉耶稣基督的名，阿门。 We thank God for fellowship. We also thank God for the body of Christ. God has given us the community that we call the church. The Chinese community is a community of faith, but we are also part of the worldwide Church of Christ. This week, we are going to be all coming together. Regardless of whether we are in California or in Boston or Texas, because this coming week, we are going to be all praying, particularly on Thursday, for our nations, the people, and the world over. In the two passages that you heard read just now, about 800 years separated the two of them. But no matter how you look at it, the two passages actually have a common emphasis. That is, the believers or the church are concerned about what goes inside the church, but also with what is going on outside the church. That the Christian church is concerned about society, about culture, about the nation, about the peoples, and about the world. In 1952, you probably know that Congress passed a bill to select a day every year for national prayer. And then in 1988, Congress again passed and authorized a bill to designate the first Thursday in May as the National Day of Prayer. Next week, next Thursday is such a day, National Day of Prayer. Churches and believers are asked to pray specifically for the nation and its people and for the seven centers of power: government, military, media, business, education, church, and family. Our church is joining with millions and millions of believers, interceding for the same country, for the same people, for the same whole universe. It is a privilege and also a responsibility of the church to do so. In fact, not only do we need to come together this week and on Thursday to pray, we have to make that a regular habit of our Christian walk. Because part of the responsibility of a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ in this day and age, is that We learn to also pray for everything under the sun. We are going to start today our season of prayer. We hope that we will see you at 12:45 for a time of prayer. And even though we will not be meeting together like this again next week for worship, but in our individual services next week, we hope that there would also be a time for closing prayer. Why do we need to pray? Very simply, God has commanded it. God has commanded every believer, every Christian, and every church to pray. Number two, when we do our part coming before God, God definitely will do his part. And number three, because truth be told, prayer brings out the very best in the church. It is very appropriate that we start our season of day of prayer, that we begin our national day of prayer ahead of time on such a Sunday when we all come together, three congregations in one, remembering the Lord's death, resurrection, and his coming again. Because it is very clearly stated in the scriptures, such as Romans chapter 8, that Jesus, whom we worship and remember by way of Holy Communion, it is the same Jesus who is interceding or praying for us at all times before the Almighty throne of God. We take our example from the Lord Jesus Christ. After all, we want to be his church. Our theme this year, you probably know from the cover of the bulletin, is that we want to grow in love, in unity. We want to come closer together as a body of Christ. Instead of growing apart and becoming indifferent to one another, we want to ask God to work a work of grace in every heart and in the entire community. But if there is one area where our church needs to learn to grow and come closer together, it is the ministry of prayer. If we do not do anything else, our prayer is that this year, in prayer, in intercession, in thanksgiving, we would come closer together as a body of Christ, whether in large or small groups. Do you know that if you look through the scriptures, you find that, you know, God's people, long before they had names like the Hebrews, Israel, Judah, the people of God were referred to and described as, in Genesis chapter 4, as a people who kept calling on the name of the Lord. This was way before, you know, we have terms such as Hebrews, Israelites, or, you know, Jews. Long before any of these terms came into being, the people of God, believers of God, were known as a people who kept calling and who kept praying to God. So this week we hope that, you know, by becoming obedient to God, by lifting up the nation, the world, and all the peoples in it, we would also usher in a period of renewal for our church. How ought we to pray for our nation and the people? Number one, very simply, is that we pray in hope. We pray in hope. Paul's advice to Timothy is very clear and specific. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Why did Paul urge Timothy? Ever thought about that? Why did Paul urge Timothy? Why did Paul need to remind, advise, encourage Timothy to do so? Why did Paul need to challenge Timothy with the habits of praying often? Perhaps, you know, in Timothy's day and culture, there were too many things to make Timothy lose faith, become skeptical or indifferent, you know, doubting or starting to doubt the goodness, the plans, and the purposes of God. Maybe back in the days of Timothy's culture and world, there were way too many of such things happening, and Timothy was starting to become cold. Timothy was starting to question, does God really exist? Timothy was starting to lose the meaning and the significance and the freshness in his faith. Maybe because, you know, back in Timothy's day, Timothy probably felt that, you know, he had way too much to do, way too many concerns in his own life already. After all, he was not only pastoring, he was pastoring for some time a very difficult church. Perhaps Timothy felt that, you know, he had just so much energy, just so much time, and just so much attention to take care of the things within his church. Maybe this is one of the reasons why Timothy needed urging, encouragement, and reminder from Paul. Maybe, just maybe, Timothy was also losing his spiritual edge. He was losing spiritual perspective on whatever that was going on inside the church and outside. For whatever reasons that Timothy was facing, and Paul found that it was needed, necessary, to remind, to encourage, to build up, and to spur Timothy on. So Paul says in chapter 1, I urge you then, first of all, request prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, inside the church and outside the church, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Timothy was asked to pray for people in authority and position, for leaders. When we pray with the understanding and with the confidence that we are approaching God in hope. We approach God in hope because we know that the God that we worship is sovereign. He is in charge. And therefore, whatever that we are concerned about, we can, by way of thanksgiving, by way of prayer, bring it to God. We know that God's purposes will prevail. After all, it was Jesus who taught his disciples and taught us to pray that your will be done, your kingdom comes. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when we come before God and we pray for one another, pray for the church, pray for the corrupt culture, pray for things happening in society, in the world, in our nations, in the lives of our leaders, we ask God to enable us to come in hope that God, who is renewing his church, would also renew the entire world. What is impossible with man is entirely possible with God. If his people come in humility and in faith and in hope. If you have read through the book of Daniel, it is a very exciting book. You probably remember that, you know, in Daniel chapter 4 and 5, there is a very sobering and telling passage about God having a personal encounter with the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. At that time, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, was the most powerful person ruler on earth. And Babylon was the vast empire, unrivaled. And in this dream, God approached Nebuchadnezzar and gave him a personal message. The thing was that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had already conquered, in his eyes, the whole world. He was filled with pride and arrogance and self-accomplishment. He felt that he was the ruler of the entire universe, and he felt that everything and everyone must be under his feet. And if you read the passage, you would find that, you know, one evening, God appeared to Nebuchadnezzar in a dream. God took Nebuchadnezzar to task, and God told him that because he was arrogant, because of his pride, because he was hogging all the credits and all the tribute to himself, God is going to teach Nebuchadnezzar a lesson. God is going to drive Nebuchadnezzar nuts, going to make him insane. God is also going to remove him from his leadership position, his authority, for 7 years. And after that, he will be restored. God was using this dream and this message to drive home to Nebuchadnezzar that the God that we worship, the God that we worship must be acknowledged, must be honored, and that the whole world, especially his people, must come before him in thanksgiving, in humility. Nebuchadnezzar needed to learn the lesson, and we need to learn the lesson too, that the God that you and I worship, in the hymns and the songs that we sing about, is a God who is totally in charge. Nothing can thwart his purposes, and nothing can prevail against him. It is the same thing today as back in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. God is still sovereign. He is still all-powerful. He is still omnipotent. Romans chapter 13 tells us very clearly that, you know, no government on earth is independent of God. No government on earth is independent of God. Those in authority are in authority because God, in his gracious purposes, has allowed it. And because God has allowed it and because God is in charge, therefore the church of God, the followers of God, must also pray for them. We must pray so that God's way that is higher and God's thought, which is also higher, would also prevail on earth. Someone has said, and with a lot of truth, this statement: behind every nation in revival is a people in revival. Behind every people in revival is a church in revival. Behind every church in revival is a congregation in revival. And a congregation in revival knows the importance of revival prayers, a lot of revivals. But the idea is very clear, that unless you and I come before God and start praying for our countries on a regular basis, start praying for the church, start praying for our cities, our society, our culture, we are not going to revive. And if we are not being revived by God, we will lose our witness in society. And the nation will not be blessed. The nation will not be led in truth and in righteousness. How do we pray? We pray in hope. We pray believing and trusting that God's ways will prevail. How do we pray for our country? We also learn to pray in repentance. We pray in repentance because it is the first starting step. We are not saying that, you know, when we come before God praying for our leaders or world leaders, that we are asking God to reveal to them the sins and the garbage in their lives, so that they will be so shocked and so terrified by God's revelation that each and every one of them would repent. That is not what we are talking about. And that is also not quite the teaching from the scriptures. What are we saying when we say we pray in repentance, when we pray for the nations, when we pray for the world? We take a lesson from three prophets: Daniel, Nehemiah, and Jeremiah. If you read their books, you would find that from time to time, these three prophets, amongst others in the Old Testament, were praying, moved by God, commanded by God, were praying for their city, for their nations, for their rulers. And one of the things that you would see is that, you know, every now and then in their fervent prayers for their rulers and for their people, they would break down and cry. They would be so disgusted and so disheartened that, you know, they couldn't help it, but they would totally break down. And the reason why they would break down is not so much because of the sins of the whole world, not so much because of the sins of the neighboring countries, but because in their prayer for the whole world, God has also enabled them to see a part of themselves from the vantage point of God. In their prayer for the whole world, God has also allowed these prophets to see that they too have sins. And when they were praying for the nations, when they were praying for the people, they were also at the same time praying for themselves. It is not like that they were convinced that they were righteous and holy and therefore stand apart, completely different and separated from the people they were praying for. This is what we mean by when we pray for the nations, when we pray for the people, when we pray for the whole world, when we pray for the church, we are also praying for ourselves, and we come to God in repentance. It is the heart of God, and it is the beauty of Jesus Christ living among his church, among his people, when Christians pray. You find that when they pray for one another, when they pray for others, you never find them pointing fingers at other people. You never find them considering themselves better, holier than others. you would always find that, you know, when believers pray, when our church pray, we too come before God and say, God, forgive us also, for we too are sinners in your eyes. And as we pray for our nations, as we pray for the shortcomings of the leaders, as we pray for the garbage that is in our land, we are partly also to be responsible. As you have mercy upon them, have mercy also upon us. Very important, the verse in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. From God to his people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, and if they pray, humble themselves, turn from their evil ways, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and I will heal, restore, bless, and prosper the land. The land of USA needs cleansing by God, because we have a lot of garbage. We have a lot of sins. Idol worship, pornographic material, drug trafficking, violence, marital infidelity and breakup, gun violence, bribery, corruption, love for money, power and sex, materialism, injustice, unfairness, and the list goes on and on. Our country, our land, first and foremost, our country needs the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus. And so when believers stand up to pray, we give thanks to God because we are answering God's call. But at the same time, we remember that we are also part of the garbage, that we need to be cleansed by God as well. If you study history, especially church history, you would find that every revival begins with Christians praying. It may be just one person. It may be a small group of people, or it may be a mid-sized congregation. But the thing is that believers took seriously the command from God to pray for cities, governments, countries, and the world, to pray for the redemption of fellow human beings. You probably remember that in the first Great Awakening in the 18th century, three people were mightily used by God: Whitfield, Wesley, and also Edwards. The reason why they were used by God in such an important and significant way was because they have started, convicted by God and moved by his Spirit, praying for the country, for the cities, for the church, and for human souls. And as a result of their obedience, other people began to join them in prayer, in repentance. And we know the outcome. There was a huge awakening as a result of their prayers and commitment. As a church that desires to follow Jesus Christ in the nation's capital, for us there is no better way than to make prayer our priority. Last week, you probably have heard the news. There's a lot of things happening, significant things happening last week. But one of the things that makes some kind of a headline is that our president visited with Dr. Billy Graham in his North Carolina home. Dr. Graham has been pastors, friends, and counselor to 12 presidents. But it is the very first time that a sitting president has visited him in his home. And according to press release from the White House, it says that President Obama found the visit with Dr. Graham and their personal prayers very encouraging. That the president found that his visit and also their prayer, personal prayer time together, very encouraging. The president needs your prayer, needs our prayer. And likewise, Dr. Graham urged that on May 6th, believers pray for the president, public servants, and the troops. And that is what we are going to be doing today. Today, at 12:30 after church lunch, we hope that many of you will be able to attend the churchwide prayer meeting. It is a time when we in unity come before God, interceding. Do not worry. If you do not think you can pray or if you are afraid to pray in public, do not worry. Come anyway, if you are able. If you believe that prayer is important, priority, please come. If you want to see our church grow into a praying church, come also. If you want to just pray in silence, you can also do that. Be here and join us. And if all you want to do is to hear other people pray and join in with your amens, also come if you are able. Come and fill this place so that not only will we have an opportunity to see believers coming together to pray for the church, also to pray for our leaders, for our countries. They so need our prayers. Let us come and humble ourselves before God. Today and in the next week, we observe our season of prayer. But after that, continue to pray. Continue to pray such that our church, the Chinese Community Church, would be more than just another church in Washington, D.C. Nothing about reputation, power, influence, or fame, but everything about we wanting to be followers of the Lord Jesus. And if the Master says pray, then that's all we're going to do. With God, nothing is impossible. And now, Pastor Sam is going to lead us in prayer.
Before I pray, I just want to encourage us to take a moment of silence to pray for leaders in our country and to pray for the people around us, to pray as a church united for many things that are coming to our heart right now. And after a moment of silence, I will close us in prayer. Let's pray. Lord God, before we pray for righteousness and holiness in our nation, we come before you first, God, and humble ourselves. And we ask that, God, you'd help us to turn away from the sin that entangles our lives. Help us to be people of repentance. Before we ask for a revival in our hearts and in our church and in our country, we first humble ourselves, saying that, Lord, we want to turn back to you in all the areas of our life where we have not put you first. We want to turn back to you. And Lord, as we turn to you, we confess that the prayers we pray, we are not able to answer on our own because we're too weak. But God, though we are weak, you are strong. And we ask that your power be displayed for the glory of your name. Yes, God. Would you show, God, that you are a God who answers the prayer of your people? Yes, God. I pray, Lord, for our country, for the most powerful of leaders, all the way to the most simple of servants. We pray that, Lord, this country would be a place of peace, of love, that be a place that displays the truth of your kingdom. We pray, Father, for Christians everywhere to become a light for our country and also for the nations. Teach us, Lord, how to pray and to be obedient to how you want us to be a light and to our communities and to our neighborhoods. We pray for our church that this church would be built on your foundation. We pray that this church would be for your purposes alone. We pray that we'd be founded on your truth and that we'd be people of obedience, eager to listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for the many generations of people who have been at this church, for the 75 years that you've had this church here. And we pray that you continue to move us forward in the power of the Holy Spirit to be obedient to your calling and to be joyful in worship, and that we would support each other in trials and suffering, that we may all find unity in the faith where Christ is the head. May you be glorified in us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.